This is the Creating the Future podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan Krause. I have a special guest today, Daniel Rain. Welcome.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for being here. So you've got a unique connection here with TCDS. Tell us about how you came to the school and kind of what you're doing here.
All right, I'll make a long story as short as possible, but I was watching this documentary and a lady in it, she said, to tell a story, you got to start at the beginning, right? So I grew up in a single parent household and went to 6 elementary schools. Very unstable, unsafe environment. You know, a lot of movement, uncomfortable, uncontrolled, right? A lot of uns there and moved. Eventually became an adult, right? Joined the military. That was, you know, settled me, right? It was like, okay, finally some sense of stability. And I served for 14 years and 10 days. Don't short me my 10 days. And within that time frame, I was an aircraft mechanic for some time. So my brain finished forming as a teenager into my mid-20s around fixed jet, right? So that's kind of how I think. Problem, fix it, make plane fly. That's kind of how I think about things, like problem, solution. Like we gotta keep things going, right? And then I did runway equipment for about a year. That was a phenomenal time. Got fully trained on that. And then the unit is communications infrastructure. So think of a cell phone tower, antenna, broadcasting, the wires that go to that, the underground portion, into all the way up into a building and to the point where you plug in your internet, fiber optic cables, coax cables, communication lines, right? No, they say no comm, no bomb in the military. So I actually became the training manager of that unit. So I went from working in it on the runway stuff and then moved to being a training manager. And my official title was training and education manager. So responsible for people's careers. And I realized, to digress a little bit, you know, a long time ago, I want to be in education. Because at my time through the school system, going to all these schools, like I felt unseen, you know, unnoticed. And I feel like it just somebody, a lot of teachers have the story of that one teacher made me want to be a teacher. And I just didn't have that. I was like, well, I didn't have any teacher to make me want to be a teacher. So I want to go be a teacher.
Nice.
To make sure that's the point that which I part get
of the,
across.
Which part of the country was this? Were you going to different schools?
Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Okay.
So Minnesota. Yeah.
Minnesota.
Fellow
Minnesota guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And I got... Yeah, I love Eau Claire. Very piece of my heart's there. But interesting time growing up back in the 1900s.
The 1900s.
Yeah.
The 20th century.
So I knew coming out of high school, I want to be a teacher. And I had that in mind. I was like, but I'm going to join the military because I don't have any means to do anything else. So then I had the 3 different professions within the Air Force. And then transitioning out of the military, it was just, I had a great career. I highly decorated. I left with getting a medal pinned on my uniform. Like, but I really got to go. I got to be done. So 14 years, 10 days, people take a double take at that. Like, you're so close to retirement. Yeah, it's farther than you think. And I'd be coming up on 20 years this year. Actually, I would have hit my 20th year, March the 16th, 2024 would have been year 20. So I'd be coming up on retirement, but I don't regret the last 6 years at all. I think it was a very positive and beneficial choice for my family.
So what's been going on in the last 6 years then?
So I got out of the military, 14 years and 10 days, and I started a real estate business. And that highly competitive real estate sales, we sold 212 or 18 houses 1 year, always selling 130 to 170. 2020 was a big year for real estate across the country, to mid 2020 into 2021. And that's when I was, you know, heavy into real estate, just selling lots of houses, learning a lot about business, sales, just entrepreneurship. But I did come to a point where it's like, so I did that for 4 years. I was like, I don't like doing this. And when you show up to a place, your body's going to send you triggers if you're in a place you're not supposed to be. So stress, anxiety, depression, you can get to a point. And when you're sitting around at a table with people you like, know, trust, to a certain extent love, and you cringe when they're speaking, and you don't want to speak and express yourself, your body's letting you know this is not the place for you to go. Let's go elsewhere.
I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah, and I got into real estate thinking, okay, I need the furthest thing from the Department of Defense. So entrepreneurship is that. But what do I want to do? Well, let's try real estate. I know and love a lot about houses. Well, real estate's not about houses. It's about a market, the real estate market. Strong real estate agents in any given city, they're in charge of the way the market goes. What houses sell for, how much. And they good real estate agents, and there's probably only a few in every city, a dozen in a big city, who are really driving the market. And we were real big players in that. And but I did not like being a real estate agent because it didn't have anything to do with houses. And I was like, this is too much. Like, this is just too much. So I decided to start a handyman company there after that. Got to a point within my first year, most startups don't make money for about 2 years. And I was profitable within 6 to 8 months. It's a handyman company, it's trade, it's a little bit different. And I had most of the tools, so I didn't have to invest that much into my company. But still, there's a lot that goes into starting a business with marketing, getting a website up, and get to a point. Now, mind you, I was an aircraft mechanic for about a decade, and my body's just really beat up, and I underestimated that. So after about a year in business, having success, I really threw my back out for the last time. It was to a point like I didn't work for. My neck went out, got better, and then my back went out like right after. So it was about 8 weeks, I think. Yeah, November all the way to New Year's 2022. So going into New Year's 23 last year, I didn't work. Like, that's not sustainable by any means. So, all right, I need to redirect, refocus. Previously, I was going to college. Throughout my whole military career, they push education, and I was an education manager. So I was taking college courses to pursue a teaching degree at that time, knowing eventually I'm not going to be in the military. When I get out, I'm going to be in a school somewhere teaching something. So let's work on that, get that done. So I decided I'm going to close my company. I got a couple clients I still take care of. And for the last 3 semesters, I've been going to school full time to finish my teaching degree. And also I'm getting a degree in humanities, because just to relate with people on a broad scale. And then in that time, in the timeline, we're trying to stay sequential, but we're blurring a little bit. But in that time, when I decided to close my company, TCDS, looking for substitute teachers. Yeah, put me on the list. Hey, right after you fill out that paperwork, it's about summer camp time last summer. You want to work at summer camp? I'm like, yeah, I got nothing going on. I'm closing my company down. I absolutely want to work at summer camp this year. And then before this school year started, after having a summer camp experience, working with second graders and middle schoolers here, kind of getting into the rigmarole, what happens around this place, which is spectacular. Like, hey, we had a falling out in middle school science. Can you help us out, till we find a full-time science teacher? And that ended up being for the whole first quarter of this school year. I brushed off the old middle school science brain and really made some connections, taught some good lessons, and had a great time. So that, and then when that ended, I got time. I got 20 minutes in the morning to hang out at the gate. You get attached to some of the kids, and just it's nice to greet them at the gate and with some of the parapros and yourself. So that kind of brings us to where we are.
You know a lot of student names for someone who's subbed and been here a little bit. I'm impressed. You get to know a lot of these kids, their names, and that speaks to your desire to want to be here and your heart for people. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I do. I love this place. And I have a low key goal. Like, I want to know every kid's name in the school. And the new ones keep coming. So it's a challenge.
Well, there's two names you for sure know, because you got two boys here.
Yes.
Right. They're, yes. Which grades? How old?
Baby G's a little champ. So that's the pre-K program. I'm going to read to his class actually after this. So he's been here. Well, both my boys, we came at the end of the 21 school year. So 2021 school year, was it 22? 21, that very end of the 2021 school year. Mm-hmm. So post-pandemic.
Sure.
And then I got Big G. He's in first grade.
So what brought you here? You chose TCDS a couple years ago. Why?
Closest one to the house.
Sure.
No.
Hey, you know, it's a good reason. Proximity is huge.
We shop. My Mrs. Rain and I were very thorough and involved parents. Both of us didn't necessarily have that. Didn't have a two-parent household where both parents were invested in the, you know, the direction of the children and who they can become. You know, and I do not mean what they can become, who they're going to be as a person. So what example can we set? What can we, you know, what energy are we putting into our parenting? So we looked around at some schools, you know, just local stuff, and we knew where we didn't want to be in some senses. And, you know, this place popped up, you know, proximity, you know, that's just,
it's a big factor.
That's by happenstance. We live on the east side. Yeah. The first time stepping on, taking the tour, it's like the outdoor facility, you know, being greeted by, you know, the pre-K through first grade director, Miss Wanda, just a pleasant interaction, just stepping on a clean campus, you know, solar and the mountain view and just welcoming environment. I think that's what a lot of people, even if they don't know it, are looking for, a sense of belonging. And this felt like a place we belonged off top. And to go real woo-woo on you, we walked into the library and I was like, I had a dream about this place maybe within the last 15 years. This was before the library had been expanded.
What?
And there's a gentleman in there, the contractor in charge. He, you know, older guy with a white hat. He was wearing a white baseball hat. Now, when I had this dream, this is what, 12, 15 years ago. Like, I don't really remember my dreams, but that one's a standout because I remember waking up thinking, that was weird. In fifth grade, I went to, I went to so many elementary schools, Meadowview Elementary in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And the library, the school's very particular, like, feel to it, look to it, the way the wings go. There's four wings to the school. Library's right dead center. And it was a very nice library. And I was like, it was weird. I was in Meadowview Elementary School in my dream in the library, but that wasn't the library. And then as soon as, fast forward, I'm in there, I'm like, this was the library from that dream I had 15 years ago. So it's like, yeah, that, I think we're done searching. Like, everything lines up. And that was near Thanksgiving time frame. And I was talking about it at Thanksgiving dinner. Like, this place, when we went on that tour the other day last week, it all took me a few days to put everything together. I was like, I had a dream about this long time ago, long that's time ago. So yeah, the universe really pulled us here.
And so what's kept you here, right? Because that's a couple of years ago now and still here. Boys are growing up. What have you learned that you and your family enjoy most about this place?
I have no fight to get my kids to come to school. They want to come here. They're excited every morning. The older one, the little one's starting to do it too within the last couple of days, but the big one, probably for the last 6 weeks, he gets up, jumps out of bed, and is like ready to get the day going. He's excited. You know, he had some trouble making friends last year, and this year things are smoothing out. So it's an organized, well-lubed, well-intended machine, and get ingrained during the summer camp and see like the orderliness of it, like how this is actually put together. Like, you are truly creating the future, right? And that's a big part of it. Just, and I want to remain a part of that and have my kids be here. It's non-traditional learning. They need to be here.
And it's such a simple, but I don't think that can be overstated enough. We can overcomplicate things, you know, in life, you know, running a school, running a family, whatever. We can overcomplicate things. When your kids like are okay with and want to like go to school, like, that's huge. When your kids feel that they don't feel, you mentioned before how your body just kind of sends signals of like, this isn't a fit or whatever that might be. When you have kids who, for the most part, you know, enjoy coming to school every day, you got to win. Like, that's a huge box to check, right? So, and what contributes to that? You know, it's, yeah, sense of belonging, sense of community. Do people know who I am? You know, they know my name, and do they show enough to care about me by, you know, you know, recognizing me yeah, no, that's huge. So I'm glad to hear that your boys are, you're not having a trouble getting your kids out of bed. Yeah. Most mornings. That's huge.
Yeah. It's enjoyable. And I stay at the gate for a reason, yeah, just to make sure somebody's going to say good morning to you, though, for sure. Multiple people. Let's go.
So you're in education now. You're third semester at the U of A?
Yes.
Third semester. So what are you learning? Like, where does education need to go?
Even at the collegiate level, I think it's behind and remaining a bit antiquated.
Mm. Break that down.
Where we are in society, there's something famously that you say, to teaching kids to take a standardized test that's great. How do you say it? By computers?
Yeah, teaching kids to think like a computer so they can take a test that'll be scored by a computer. It's like, that's, you know, and this goes back, you know, I just was talking at a staff meeting recently. This goes back to the early 90s, you know, when the New York Times put out an article. It's like 1992, February 6th. It's sad that I remember that. February 6th, 1992. There was a study that was published in there that had American students, 9 and 13-year-olds, ranked against like a dozen other countries around the world. Long story short, our kids did not perform well. We're like 10th out of 12, 15th out of 15 in science. We're at the bottom, right? And so that doesn't sit well with our culture, right? Our highly competitive American spirit. Like, our kids aren't at the bottom of anything. And, you know, less than a decade later, you got No Child Left Behind legislation that essentially makes standardized assessment the target for education. You then have Race to the Top, you know, under the Obama administration 7 years later. So this isn't a, you know, Republican, Democrat, like, this is just our country here. We continue to put standardized test assessments kind of on a pedestal.
I don't know.
You know, the internet should have like made that obsolete. Like, why are we training young, beautiful, creative, inquisitive minds to memorize stuff that Alexa, ChatGPT, Siri can just answer in the snap of a finger? It's like, no, we can do better than that. We should be inspiring kids to want to discover and learn and create, right? And take risks and working with other people, learn how to strategically think and like develop citizenship readiness. Like, how do you measure that on a standardized test? You don't, right? So yeah, it's a big problem, but we can do something about it here. You know, and we're,
yeah,
we're trying.
I'm grateful for that. Just the implementation of soft skills, just the project-based learning aspect of this place. Like, how do we work together, who we're here with and what we have, you know, and just the outputting functioning members of society, just positively functioning members of society who can problem solve and properly express themselves. Right. Like, I have a set of core values. One of them is professionalism. One of them, or you could probably restate that as presentation, but just proper presentation, presentation of self. How are you interfacing with yourself? How do we get to know, how do we as a school get you to know who you are, how you behave, how you learn? How can we pull that out of you and teach you new things, build, you know, skill stack? Right, with the skills you have, and then where you're lacking, I mean, let's guide you there. Not, you know, there's a broadcasting class here, right? Not everybody's on the screen. We find a role for you. It's a bigger picture than just what you see.
Yeah.
Right. Let's look all the way around. Where can you fit in? And let's get you in there.
Yeah. Just had a conversation with two of the girls from the broadcasting communications elective in the middle school, and you know, we'll be airing that podcast here, and just so insightful, you know, to listen to these middle schoolers share the benefits of having like this open-ended project and having ownership and autonomy to create something for an audience. You know, they're putting out every few weeks episodes for the whole school and every kid, you know, to consume. And this morning, I know, Miss Hunter, you're listening to this right now, we were on the news this morning, Channel 9, shout out to April Madison and Kagan 9, aired a little clip of Conversations with Kane. So our broadcast communications is broadcasting to not just the TCDS community, but the Tucson community, which is awesome.
Let them know.
That's the vision here.
Yep.
Creating the future projects that enable kids to bring a set of skills and then refine and build those skills throughout that messy process of creating something in collaboration with others, and you've got a tangible, purpose-driven outcome. Like, that's what school can be, should be, right? And you've got that entrepreneurial background and education background. Like, I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Practically speaking.
Yep. The future's not set. There is no fate, but the fate we make for ourselves, to quote Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Mm. But well, creating the future. Yeah, I don't know if there's a higher calling than that, or it's up there. Saving lives, creating the future. It matters. And yeah, from what I can see, what's keeping us here, that's what's happening. And I don't know, I'll just throw myself, that's what we're doing. Because, you know, it's family incorporated as well. Whether I had the opportunity to be within the side the gates for extended periods of time or not, I mean, it's collaborative effort, you know, complementary to the household. And I think, you know, it's a welcoming place, and parents are welcome to come and read books to little kids. Like it's spectacular.
So given your background and then giving what you're pursuing, we're starting up a high school here. We've got a preschool through eighth. We've had a number of families over the years inquire. It's like, where do your kids go to high school? And some have said like, well, gosh, you know, I love what you guys are building here. And then, you know, the options out there, it's kind of different, a little more traditional, a little more test preppy kind of. And we've heard that enough to be like, you know what, let's start a high school. Let's have a pre-K through 12 program. So like, given your background, given your experience, kind of the heart and the hunger you have to build people up, like, what's the ideal high school experience look like? You're thinking about your own, thinking about what you're learning in education, what your children are experiencing here, what you've experienced here as a, you know, substitute working at camp. Like, what's that ideal post eighth grade into high school experience look like?
A real emphasis on your value set. That to say, like, I think a certain part of being an educator, being a teacher, is your parenting style. And like mine is formulating who you want to be. Let's form your value set. Let's utilize our surroundings. What do we have here? What can we do here? Who can you be? Let's give you the yearn to learn for life's sake. You know, be a child of life. Take everything in. Let's incorporate local businesses. We're in a unique spot in the country. There's a lot of locally owned. We can walk in and meet the owner of a place because they're there. And then it's not a sole proprietorship. There's a lot of restaurants where the owners are there overseeing, and wood shops, cabinetry shops. And let's make AI and take care of some things. Like, let's really see what we can't get out of, you know, an adolescent individual about to be released into society. I mean, that's one of my dad laws. Like, that's the last law. You got to turn them loose at some point. So how prepared are they going to be? So let's teach you how to life, you know, let's teach you about you, and let's teach you about society and how that all interplays together.
I love that. It's kind of like beginning with the end in mind. It really is. So if you have in your mind, okay, when your kiddo is 18, you know, they're a legal adult. Brain's not fully formed yet, but, you know, they're an adult, you know, kind of ready to take on the world. Like, who do you want them to become, and what kind of skills, value sets, experiences do they need to have before that release? And then, you know, you kind of backwards design, right? So from a very early age, you probably want to give a slow little release of responsibility, right? I mean, that doesn't just happen when they're 18. I kind of joke that, you know, in a lot of high schools, we ask 18-year-olds to sign out to use the restroom. And then when they graduate, all of a sudden, they got the world at their fingertips and, you know, taking out hundreds of thousands of dollars of loans and making these huge decisions. Whereas, well, like, the K-12 system pretty much made all the decisions for them, kind of micromanaged their every behavior. We don't trust you enough to walk the hall, to use the restroom. So we need to have this, like, it's kind of laughable when you really think about it. So, but yeah, you don't all of a sudden just flip a switch and expect this 18-year-old to, you know, be prepared to adult and to, you know, to face life. So, yeah, it's like, how do you build that? I mean, your kids are younger now. Like, what are some things you're doing with them? You kind of have a vision for what high school and beyond can, you know, what they need to experience, but it starts young, right?
Yeah, and you nailed it with, and the way I phrase it is reverse engineer from the goal and down to minute details. At this age, and every household is going to vary, every kid's developing a little differently, but our household specifically, you know, at 4, you're responsible for your bathroom and bathing. At 5, you're all on your own for brushing your teeth. You might get a little help with flossing. By 6, you're flossing. When you're strong enough, you're bringing the garbage bins up. When you're tall enough, you're doing the dishes, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the progress there. We're not quite there yet. We're at garbage bins. The big one's first grade. He's big enough, strong enough to
it's a big deal.
Bring in the garbage bins, and he does it now that we're months into this. He does it by himself, and he's responsible for the gate. Our kids, we live in an area where it's okay to let them be outside on their street. And I think a lot of people as well do. They're allowed to go up and down the street. You don't leave the street. You know how to cross it. The youngest one's about to be 5. The oldest one, he'll be 7 over the summer. But just slowly, the end goal is turn them loose. So how prepared are you going to be? So that, you said incremental. Just, incremental responsibility roles. And then to fostering the yearn to learn, I mean, it was a benefit for us to have them be at the age they are during the pandemic, because they were 1 and 3. But we're just at home doing education, reading every night. Mom reads a book every night. Dad reads a book every night. And now Big G is old enough, he reads a book every night. The yearn to learn. Everything is learning based. Limits of screen time. I see a lot of the middle school students here, like, oh, I'm tired. Why are you tired? Because I didn't get enough sleep. I'm like, that's on you, right? That's your responsibility. And then there's other kids like, I got great sleep. I'm feeling great today. Like, yes, set the example. Let's do this. You know, so giving responsibilities, the incremental, you nailed it, just with it's something new all the time. I'm not going to do everything for you, down to resolve toy disputes. My sons don't come to me with toy disputes. I look at them blankly, and they don't come to me very often. I'm like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. So go do that. You're not going to watch this movie until the playroom's picked up. So that's on you. That's on you. You're going to learn through consequences. I think that's very important. How do we build responsibility? Like, by holding people accountable, right? Okay, the bridge of that is consequences. So what consequences do you want? Right? There's negative consequences to everything in society. Hammering that point in education. Like, so instead, the flip side of that coin is true. Let's go for the positive consequences. Do what you're supposed to do. Right? Get rid of the self-sabotage. You know there's a dress code here, so why are you purposefully getting dress coded? You're doing it on
They want to toe the purpose. Line.
Yeah, don't self-sabotage. You can put that energy. There's something called ego depletion. Why it's called ego depletion, I don't know. I wasn't there when Dr. Roy Baumeister coined the term, but it's the energy, a better word for it's neural depletion. The thoughts, the energy that thinking takes, right? So fueling your source, where your energy is important. So have good energy, put good fuel in, and also what are you thinking about, right? Don't have this happen, right? Don't get dress coded on Friday because you wore something out of line with the requirements. You can read. So you're now wasting, let's say my energy and this person's energy and your own energy, because we have to address this, right? Which is taking away from other people's what we could be inputting that energy into them and having a different day, a different conversation, a different interaction. So let's aim for the positive consequences, right? Let's carrot versus stick. I want to throw out carrots all day long, all day long.
Let them find the carrot, right?
Yeah, throw them, scatter them all over.
Let them find it. Yeah. There's a ripple effect to every choice every person makes.
Yeah.
It really comes down to that. Every choice you make has an impact on your kind of immediate sphere of influence, or the people that you rub shoulders with on a day-to-day. The earlier you can empower kids to realize that. Oof.
Yeah, your network is your net worth. Like, just truly, it's so true. I heard that many years ago. Who you're around, you know, there's some business books. I can't quote this individual, but the what they're saying, you're an average of the five people you're around the most. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. So where do you fall in that? Who are you aligning yourself with? What are you inputting into all of your relationships? You know, what you're inputting, and then what are you taking away as well? So your network is your net worth. Let's make that important. That. And everybody has value. To go back to when we were talking about the broadcasting thing, mm-hmm. everybody has a place.
Yeah.
You know, let's get you in where you fit in. Mm-hmm. I want to lead you to, I want to make you thirsty. I want to lead you to water, but then I want you to take the drink, right? Mm. Can't make them, right?
Yeah, you gotta provide the conditions, right? I think too often as schools and as parents too, we treat young kids like a machine that we can tinker with and fix this and do that. Like it's like, imagine a child on a conveyor belt as they grow up and just a bunch of adults inputting this, putting that. Really, raising children, I think being a classroom teacher, it's more like gardening. You can't make the plant grow. You can't make the child grow. And every child is different and unique, just like plants, right? Cacti versus mesquite trees, mm-hmm. versus they all need different nutrients. The environment is important. I mean, there's a reason why saguaro cactuses, we don't see those up in Wisconsin, you know, where we grew up, right? They wouldn't survive. So it's like providing the optimal conditions for that individual to grow. You know, it's not command and control, it's temperature control. Like that's a phrase that just makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, as adults who have the responsibility of, you know, bringing up children or, you know, teaching a group of students, you know, you realize that like you're kind of the temperature control here. You provide the optimal conditions for those individuals to take that drink, right? So to speak, you can't force it. And we try. We have all these like manipulative tactics to get this immediate behavior, and we don't stop and think about the long-term consequences of what we're doing in the K-12 setting, for example, with all the carrots and sticks. Things like grades, things like detention, things like, you know, we have all these mechanisms we try to put into place to manipulate child behavior. Why don't we empower them to learn how to self-regulate, mm-hmm. and to develop self-discipline, right? To make those own, and you can't force that, but that has to be taught. But you know, we like things now, right? I want this behavior now. It's like, well, gosh, let's have more of a long-term view on this, you know, student development. And it's harder to do, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah,
that's what we're trying to do here. You got a podcast?
I do.
In fact, you just gave me a sticker here.
I got a stack of stickers. Yeah, put it wherever.
Granddad's Basement.
The Granddad's Basement podcast.
What's that all about?
Established 2019. It's me articulating my thoughts. Often it's just a free flow consciousness, just me in a room by myself, kind of therapy sessions. But I say it in the intro. The intro kicks in with some heavy bass. It's my favorite beat I've ever made. So I'm just a dude from a trailer park trying to figure out the universe. Like, and that's really what it is. I'm just working out thoughts, live thoughts, you know, and hoping to get feedback. You know, so sometimes I have people on. I'd love to have you on sometime. Come down in the basement.
I love it.
It started off as me and a buddy of mine. We were going to do a podcast, and life took us kind of different ways. And scheduling it's hard when you both have young families and careers to work on, even just trying to get there, because it's not sit down, record, and then it's done. You know, sure. there's production that's involved as well. So we were unable to do that together. So I kind of kept it going by myself. I try to get one out a month. So it's not the most regular thing, but the Granddad's Basement podcast, I'm in there doing my thing, speaking freely. I don't know the target audience, but if I were to guess, younger men, maybe single moms, you know, and people looking for general betterment, just a new perspective, a new way to think about something because we're of similar age. I was also handed the keys to life very early, you know, single digit age, responsible for cooking for myself, cleaning up after myself, getting myself cleaned, awake in the morning, off to school on time. There was nobody waking me up after second grade. It was all kind of on me. So, you know, putting that all together and just relaying, hey, this is life. So to a certain extent, it's my parenting style, which is in part my teaching style. And hopefully there's something to take away from there, but just a man having a conversation, you know, a therapy session, being open and honest with myself. I'll get to talking and argue with myself. I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I do need to rethink what I just said and kind of live rework things and come to new perspectives, new conclusions. I think, you know, that looking inward, it's very, very important. So I think that's what Granddad's Basement is. And it's named after both my grandparents. They got unique experiences in both their basements up in the Midwest.
Well, let's do that next.
I'm down.
Love to hit it. I appreciate you coming on today here and giving some insight into, you know, your experience as an employee, as a parent, as a community member. And thanks for coming on and sharing, Daniel.
I'm happy to be here. Let's do a random vet shout out before we go.
Oh, what you got?
We got
some
jerky beef.
Oh yeah, I got some teriyaki honey bourbon. Tim Bowman, Miss Unica, one of our communications teachers. Her husband makes some pretty delicious jerky. Which one you munching on there?
The honey bourbon.
Good.
And it's spectacular, Tim. Thank you kindly.
Good stuff. Daniel, appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.